God is good.
Oh, yeah.
It's been one of those meetings where just a valley. Been going through a valley the last, I tell everybody this. I got saved 10 years ago, and I was out there in the world for 40 years.
Right.
It's a big difference.
Yeah.
God has put me in positions that I never thought possible. And I'm not talking about a position where it matters to anybody but God.
Right.
That's the position that matters.
Right.
But I want to talk a little bit tonight. If you would, turn with me to Psalm chapter 103. I want to talk about a few verses here on some benefits that we have.
Hear me.
We have benefits.
Yeah.
But wait, it gets better. There's benefits in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It's a doctrine that most people have put to the side.
Right.
We'll get up and we sing about there's power in the blood and there's this in the blood and that in the blood, but yet not many people are out there preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, without the blood, we'd all be going to hell tonight.
Amen.
Right. Just reality.
Right.
Thank God for the blood of Jesus
Christ. Amen.
But you know what, Brother Rose? I knew that I was going through problems because God gave me this message.
Amen.
And the devils hate it.
Yes.
Amen.
They hate the blood.
Sure.
They hate what Jesus Christ has done for us.
Right.
And so when I knew a few weeks ago that when God started giving me this message, trouble was coming. You think I'd be smart enough to start praying for it?
Bless.
Good.
Trying to help you tonight.
Help.
Start praying for the trouble that's coming.
Yeah.
If you're going to be used of the Lord, start praying for the trouble that's going to come for what you're going to stand up and preach.
Sure.
Or what you're going to stand up for. Look at, I know a lot of King James readers out there, but there's not many believers anymore.
Right. Amen.
Right.
There's a whole difference in that.
That's right.
There's a difference in somebody reading that King James Bible, knowing that King James Bible, and living it.
Right. Yeah.
Right. That's right.
You're
telling me
right.
Harder to live, isn't it?
Amen.
Thanks to the mercies of God to live this.
Amen.
Look at it says here in Psalm chapter 103. Starting in verse 1, it says a Psalm of David. Most people leave that out.
Right.
They don't read that, but let me just say this, my friend. That is part of the Bible.
Right.
Those words are given by the Holy Ghost telling you who that Psalm is.
Good.
But most people, when they get up to preach a message, they'll leave that right out of there. Like God gave them permission to go ahead and leave that out of there. You say, boy, you nitpick on that kind of stuff. Oh, it gets worse.
Right.
You just wait. I'm not even into the message yet. I was just talking to Brother Rose on how important this King James Bible is. When it, I almost spit out my...
I'm a coffee.
We're going to invent a bit. Put it in the front row. But I'm just telling you, look it. For you, most of you don't know who I am, I was saved out of jails and prisons. Okay? I lived a life in a gang. I lived a life as an alcoholic and a drug addict. I spent most of my time in institutions. And I'm going to tell you now, religions and programs don't touch people like me.
Right, tell it.
It took the King James Bible.
Amen.
It took the preaching of the truth to get in there and take it. The Bible talks about people having that seared conscience. And when a person gets a seared conscience, they lose natural affection towards other human beings.
Right.
It's not a wonder why you see people walk up to other people and shoot them in the head or stab them or women get abortions. Why? Because they've lost that natural affection.
That's
that
right.
Conscience is seared.
That's right.
I'm telling you now, there's nothing on this planet. There's not a program, there's not a person, there's not a pill that's going to touch that besides the King James Bible.
Amen.
That's
right.
That's good.
Right.
That's why I stick up for it so much. That's why I love it.
Amen.
I love this Bible. It's alive.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what it was doing for me this morning?
Come on.
Discerning the thoughts and intents of my heart.
Amen.
Put me on my knees, Brother Rose, for about 4 hours. Put me on my knees, did it not?
Praise God.
Put me on my knees. It was showing me some things about myself, Brother Dave.
Good.
Amen.
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 Help
me.
Praise the Lord.
Look at verse 1. Amen. A Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Hey.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not some of his benefits. Oh no. There's a benefit to serving God.
Amen.
God gives us benefits to serve him. God has given benefits to us. What are some of those benefits? Look what it says here in verse 3. Who forgiveth some of thine iniquities. Oh no, my friend. All thine iniquities. Hey, and let me say, iniquities is different than sin. Iniquities is a lawlessness.
It's
that rebel that's inside that person.
It's
those iniquities, that lawlessness. You know how God hung me up to dry? You know what it took for me to get saved? It finally took me to see this, that I was a rebel against the holy God.
Yeah.
It was the iniquity inside of me that God had to problem with me. Why is that? Because I knew what I was when it came to human beings. I always ended up in jail, prison, Brother Mike.
Yeah.
I knew that I was a lawbreaker against mankind.
Yeah.
But what I never seen was that I was a lawbreaker and a rebel against the holy God.
That's good. That's
10 years ago, God brought me to that place, my friend. And he showed me my lawlessness. And he showed me my iniquities. And he brought me face to face to those things.
Amen.
You know what this says? One of the benefits is that he forgives me of all that.
Hey, that's right. Hallelujah.
Hey,
what a merciful God.
Hey,
what a good God. Could you imagine if I had to answer for those?
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, man.
Woo! Look what it says here. And it goes on and it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Wouldn't you like that tonight?
Listen.
Look, if you're unsaved in here tonight, what is stopping you from that forgiveness? You see, it's his benefits that he gives us.
Yeah.
That's something we earn.
Right.
A benefit is something that is given to you. And God has benefits. And one of them is the iniquities that's in your life. That lawlessness that you have against a holy God. That's what he's trying to pin you up with.
Yeah, right.
You already know you're a sinner. Why hasn't it worked then? What aren't you seeing?
Right.
Look what he says here. Who healeth all thy diseases.
Praise God.
Hey. Look, he's not just talking about the physical diseases. I've had 16 surgeries. Back, neck surgeries, arm surgeries. I was a power lifter out there. But I'm going to tell you now. The diseases of alcohol.
Right.
Drugs. The diseases of fornications and adulteries. Hey, it says that he forgives those things. He heals those things, Zach.
That's right. Yeah.
You don't have to bear those scars anymore.
Amen.
If you do, that's because you know why? God's trying to bring you back to your thinking.
Oh my.
That's right. That's right.
You're thinking this way like you were back in the 90s.
Right.
You see, it's something that God has used, but you know he's forgiven me for that. But it's a way that he uses to remind us.
Right.
Dale, your thinking's not where it should be. Get it right.
It's good.
Let's go on. It says here, who redeemeth thy life.
Hallelujah. Hey.
Woo! From destruction, my friend.
Hey.
From pure and absolute destruction, not only here on earth, but I'm telling you, there's an eternity to pay, and hell is long and it's hot.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey.
Destruction of a life. My goodness, if God didn't step into my life, I wouldn't have that beautiful woman sitting there with these two children, because my wife was praying at the time that I got saved that God would kill me.
Oh my. Right.
We're a life full of destruction.
Yes, yeah.
There was nowhere else for us to go. Hey, the counselor told me this. He said, Mr. Morey, he said, there ain't no more hope for you. Thank God the world didn't see any hope in me.
Hey.
Thank God they finally gave up on me. Because that's when Jesus Christ could step in.
Yeah,
and what did he do? He healed the destruction.
Right.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey. Isn't that what Jesus does?
Yeah.
Doesn't he change lives?
Yes. Yeah.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, if that means not everybody who says they are our life because they're not changing.
Tell him.
Right.
If there's no change,
right.
There's no repentance,
right.
There's no life.
Right.
If any man be in Christ, he might be a new creature.
No. Come on now.
Look, we have to understand the wording of this Bible, man.
Right.
Look, he didn't put it there on accident.
Right.
Right.
He is.
Right.
A new creature. What's that mean? Does it, no, I still have all the tattoos. I still have the broken down body. But here's the difference. I have Jesus Christ living inside.
Amen.
That's the new creature. Yeah. How about that? It said, behold, look. Stop. I want you to look. I want you to stop everything, and I want you to look what Jesus Christ has done to this person.
Yeah,
behold.
Yeah.
Take notice.
Come on, that's good.
All things are. A-R-E.
That's
present
it.
Tense
that's
passed it. Away.
Yeah, right. Right.
Behold, all things are.
Right.
Become new.
Amen. Right.
Woo! Hey, it don't get no better than that,
that's
brother.
Yeah.
When he takes those things, when he takes those destructions out of your life.
Amen.
And replaces them with what he has for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's good.
Man, what a wonderful God we serve.
That's right. Right. We do. Sure.
Well, let's go on here, and it says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Yes.
Those words were never a part of my family.
No,
sir. That's right, brother.
My family never had that.
Oh, my.
I never understood that kind of stuff, Miss Stephanie. Mm. Until my holy God stepped into my life. And it set that crown on my head.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Now you go out there and live it.
Preach.
Amen.
He's good. Yeah. Hey.
Who satisfy thy mouth with good things.
Yeah.
Sure.
How many bad things have we put in our mouth? Yeah. Now God comes along and he puts good things in our mouth. Hey, look, he's not just talking about food and waters and the like, but he's talking about the praises of God. Yeah. The songs of Zion. The preaching. The love. The good,
amen.
The bragging of what Jesus Christ has done for us.
Amen.
The good things in your mouth.
Amen.
He takes, isn't that what it says in the Bible? That he takes those old things and puts new things in there, Stephanie?
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Look at him. Everybody wants to get off the alcohol and the drugs and the He works in all the things, man. The small things and the large things. Right. He's not just, everybody wants to cry for him and when they're in trouble.
Right.
You know you're serious with Jesus Christ when you cry for him outside of a special service.
Yeah.
When you long for him and that conviction is just as real sitting at your table as you are sitting in a camp meeting.
Amen. Right. Yeah, right. Man. Yes, man. Now you tell me. Yeah.
You know what I got saved in my living room floor?
That's good.
Me too.
Under heavy conviction.
Me too.
I'm in a barrage of conviction for a whole week.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was under heavy conviction. I ran out the door. But you know what happened? I couldn't shake it this time. I couldn't shake it. And I met Jesus Christ on the floor. I wasn't 19 and a half East Main Street, Cuba, New York.
Yeah.
Me and Jesus Christ had a meeting. Nobody led me into prayer. Nobody led me down the Romans Road.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
Just me and Jesus. We had a dealing, my friend.
Amen.
And I finally saw him face to face.
Amen.
And I understood perfectly in my mouth. Well, shut up, I had no more excuses. You know, I always say this, Pastor, I'm not making any excuses while I'm not being saved. Woo-hoo! Let me tell you about some excuses you make as an unsaved person. As a saved person today, God was showing me things about my heart. I can imagine what an unsaved person has in their heart. God help us. So that the youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, I'm telling you, I'm healthier now than I've ever been in my life. Meth head. I like speed, crystal meth. I like to go out there and drink and, I mean, abuse my body. I mean, something horribly. The doctors told my wife that one day your husband's going to be in a wheelchair. He's not going to be able to walk.
Amen.
After 16 surgeries, next sir, I think I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Why? Because God, look at when he takes care of your soul, he'll start taking care of that body physically. Okay? Regardless if you're on that or not, he's taking care of this man.
That's
he's
right.
giving
That's
him exactly more strength right. to get through COVID than somebody who's healthy.
That's right.
A 38-year-old cousin of mine just died of COVID, healthy. His brother Mike Church. Why? Because God's got something for that man.
Right.
Man. Right.
God's got something for that man.
It's good.
Pastor Dan Cassiola, love him. You know him, Brother Tim. I love Amen. Pastor Dan Cassiola. He spent almost 90 days on the vent. They said, that's it. He's gone. He's out of here. I said, no, they're not done with him yet. God's got something for that man. He pulled through that. He should not have pulled through that. Right. He pulled through it. I said, my goodness, God's got something for him.
That's right.
God's going to use him for something. I don't know what it is. It may be just to get his own family saved. But am I right, brother?
Amen.
Exactly.
Right. Hey,
praise the Lord.
Wouldn't it be worth it?
Bless the
Lord. Amen.
Hey.
People say this, you know, because I have a ministry with jails and prisons. And that's something. We, you know, we send missionaries over to foreign countries to win the nationals and send them back to Jesus. Send them back to their own people. And that's what Jesus Christ has done with me. He saved me. And now he has sent me back to those men and women in jail and prison. And I love them.
Amen.
Sure, that's good.
But wouldn't it be something, you know what my goal is, Brother Rose? That one person gets saved, one family.
Amen.
I'll spend the next 30 years, Brother Mike, and one family sitting in the church, forgiven.
Amen.
Forgiven. Amen. Growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One family. How about that? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Yeah, God can do it.
Amen.
If I didn't think he can do it, I wouldn't go into the jails. Look, I wasn't wanting to go back in jail. You go, oh yeah, you know, you spent a lot of time. I wasn't wanting to go back into jail and prisons. I absolutely folded my arms and said, I am not going to that. Just come give your testimony. I said, I'm not going to give my testimony.
Right.
I don't need to go sit in the jail. When they come out, I can talk to them. Yeah. Now you go in there. Okay, I'll go.
Hey.
By about my fourth time of being in there, Brother Roy, I couldn't even walk out. I was just in tears. I said, all right, Lord, I'll go. That was 6 years ago. God knows in 6 years what we have been through so that we can help others. Because that's what Second Corinthians talks about, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, says that he's the God of all mercies and comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulations. Why? So that we can help them.
Amen.
Right. You see, there's certain things we have to go through, Brother Rose, in order to help others. How can I say I understand what you're going through if I've never been through what you've been through?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, you're telling it right.
So that's talking about that me and my family are going to go through things so that we can help those men and women that are in jail and prison. Right. How can I go up to them and say, hey, man, I understand how it is not to be able to pay your electric if I've never been in that struggle. Hey, I know how it is to go without food if we've never been without food. We've been there.
Yeah.
Man.
God has brought us to that place. And me and my family have had to get together and hold hands. And my little girl says, Daddy, are we going to have to live in a cardboard box? I said, at least we'll have each other in Jesus.
Right.
Woo! That's what it is.
Amen.
Why? We were willing to go through that. Why, Brother Mike? To help them that are in jail and prison.
Right.
To help those men and women to see that Jesus Christ can get them through it all.
Yeah.
Amen.
God help us. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
Right.
Hey.
My friend, if you're oppressed in here tonight and you're lost, he wants to help you.
Amen.
He's not trying to drag it out. He's not the one trying to drag this thing out.
Right.
I believe as believers in unsaved alike, there's a doctrine that's often not talked about much anymore, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. But let me just tell you this. We have benefits and standings in Jesus Christ as saved people because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's very important that we understand it. Hey, look, if you're a lost person in here, know this. This could be your standing. This could be a benefit that you can have.
Right.
This is something that's going to benefit you by listening to what God has to say from the Word of God.
Amen.
Right.
There are hundreds of songs written about the blood of Jesus Christ, but how many people really do believe when they sing about the blood of Christ?
Right.
How many people stand up?
That's right.
Every single song, the songs that we've sang this week, they're a lost person who's sitting in this room and they'll sing that song and they're lying to God from their lips. How bad does that bother you? How bad does that get to you knowing that those very songs that you're singing do not pertain to you? Yeah, but you shake it off knowing that you just lied to God in the house of God. Every time. And then when the man gets up and he says, stand up, we're going to sing, there's power in the blood. And you're singing about the forgiveness that the blood brings, and yet you sit there and you reject it because you're still lost.
Right, boy.
That's the deceiver. Right. That's Antichrist.
Right.
You can't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and believe that his blood can't do anything for you. You can't have both.
Right.
Which one is it?
Amen.
How powerful, how precious is the blood really to people anymore today? You can go out there and start preaching about the blood of Jesus Christ. People say, man, that's gross. And they'll sit there and watch Friday the 13th and everything, every other murder show on TV.
Right.
But you mention the blood of Jesus Christ and all of a sudden everybody wants to get grossed out.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the blood,
yeah,
without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
Right.
So what the Bible says, God started that back in the day. He started it with Adam and Eve. He did the first sacrifice.
Right.
Thank God we had somebody who stepped in our place.
Amen. Yes.
Man says, stand up. We're going to sing nothing but the blood and power in the blood. But Jesus says, for those who do this in unbelief, in Mark chapter 7, he says, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. And as is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. Howbeit in vain, when it's worthless, it's useless as a lost person to stand up and try to worship God with your lips, because your heart is far from him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Sing the songs. Wonderful for people to hear. But it means nothing in your heart.
That's right.
Vain means it means nothing. That's what vain means. It's just nothing. Singing the songs of Zion, singing the songs of the blood of Jesus Christ isn't vain to a saved person. I see everybody in here when they're singing and they're raising their hands and they're crying because they know the holiness of God. But yet the lost people sitting here and they sing it in vain. It means nothing to them.
Amen.
William Cowper wrote this song. We just sang it yesterday. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins.
Yeah.
Hey, let me just say this. We helped draw that blood out of his veins. How did we do that? Do you know the Bible, when it talks about when they put that robe on him? And they mocked him. And they buffeted him. Let me say, that word buffet means to repeatedly hit violently. And they mocked Jesus Christ. And they spit on Jesus Christ. And they pulled the beard off of his face. And they kicked that crown of thorns on top of his head. And they beat him with the cat of nine tails. And at the same time, he's looking at each and every one of your faces. And yet tonight you'll reject that. He stood there, Brother Mike, with each and every one of our faces while he went through that, Brother David.
Right.
You get that and it'll change your life.
Amen.
You get what Jesus Christ stood and took before the cross.
Right. Yeah, sir.
We're not even talking about the cross yet and how he died that. You think about what he went through before the cross. Right. And we're the ones. We did it. We mock him in our hearts.
Yes,
we mock him because we reject him. We mock him because we won't get saved. We mock him. We come into church and we read our Bibles and we do everything that our religion tells us to do. And we, you know what that is? Putting a robe on him and mocking him.
Right.
We do that every day.
Right.
And we're okay with it. What would you do if somebody spit in your face, Timothy asked with? Those people got the biggest, greenest hoogies, and they took them and...
Yeah.
Right in the Savior's face.
Yes, sir.
Right in the Creator's face. The creation spit in the Creator's face. And we do that on a daily basis, and we're okay with it.
You're right.
It's not okay.
Right,
man.
It's not okay. We've helped draw that blood from Emmanuel's face. Why? Because we've been that one that took that hammer and we nailed it. Every single time we sin, Every single time we reject Jesus Christ, we take that and we nail it tighter and we nail it more and we nail it, and that blood is dripping and it's coming out.
Sir.
There used to be a time, Brother David, you'd say something like that and people would run to the altar.
Yes, sir.
Run to the altar. You preach John 3:16, they would run to the altar because they understood that. Not today. No. Hard, dry Lord. Eyes in the hard, pews. Look right. What it says. And sinners plunged neath that flood. It was all. They're guilty.
Amen.
You sit there, you know that you're guilty. You know you're a sinner. But yet you won't come to that fountain that wants to cleanse you. You won't come to the only place that you can be cleansed.
Right. God help us.
I'm not going to read the whole song, but he says, Lord, I believe thou hast prepared, unworthy though I be, for me a blood-bought free reward, a golden harp for me. You see, there's something about the blood.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was praying about this message. And the Lord showed me, Dale, when you start preaching this message, it's going to go quiet. I already knew. I knew that it was going to go quiet here because the blood is being preached and the devils of hell are trying to fight it.
Right.
The flesh is trying to fight what's being preached here because it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And you need to understand that battle, my friend. If you're a lost person in here, he doesn't want you to hear it.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
I knew it because my God showed me that. Know it. This isn't the most holiest message. I don't try to preach the holiest message. Like you said, I'm not in here for a contest.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Brother, I'm just telling you, I paid a price for God to give me this message. Sure. And I was willing to pay it to come here no matter what. I've had a pretty bad week.
Right.
Help him.
I've had a bad week. I talked to Brother Tim today. I've had a bad week. I've had a bad couple of weeks. But you know what? One day it's going to be worth it all, my friend.
Hey, yeah.
One day it's going to be worth it all if I faint not. You know, I'm trying to learn how to be a fighter on this side, Brother Mike. Right. I knew how to fight on that side. Now I'm trying to learn how to, hey, Miss Mumford, it's a different battle fighting this way than a spiritual battle.
Right.
I can fight this way. You want to fight? Come on, let's do it. I don't have no problems going round and round with anybody. But learn how to spiritually fight? That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a bit different ballgame.
Yeah.
That's a bit different story. But hang on. You see these beautiful people?
Mm-hmm.
I got them on my back.
Right.
That's right.
It ain't just about me.
That's right.
God has made me. He says, look at Dale, your family. You're the spiritual leader.
Yes, sir.
God knows, my family knows, I fail a lot. But like you, I go to them and I get it right with them. And I let them know exactly what I do. Because I'm not perfect. I'm not a hypocrite. I mess up. But I don't want you to be that way. You see my mistakes, do something different.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 9, look what it says here. It says, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11.
Amen, brother.
You want to do a good study? Get in the book of Leviticus and Hebrew and do them side by side. I'll tell you what, it'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind the stuff that God has in that Bible. I love studying the Bible, bro. There ain't nothing like getting along with God and studying your Bible. There ain't nothing like God showing you those things, man. Look, I put all things with. Look, I'm not against books and I'm not against whatever you might use. Those are tools.
Sure.
But I know today that men are taking them and say, well, my commentary said this and the Bible says this. I'm going to tell you this right now. If the Bible says it, your commentary is wrong.
Amen.
You go ahead and just chuck it to the side.
Amen.
Just go ahead and get the. But you know what? People aren't doing that. Right. I watch men today, Brother Rose, instead of getting up here and preaching with the Bible, they get up here and preach out of a commentary.
Right. Yeah, oh my soul.
I don't get it.
Right.
I don't get it, man. God help us.
Yeah, man.
Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. It says this, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the bloods and goats, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained, here's my favorite word, eternal, 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 eternal redemption, my friend. It's not just a one day thing. It's not just a 1 month thing. It's an eternity thing. He redeemed us for eternity.
Yeah.
You can't lose it. It's not going nowhere. An eternal redemption.
Yeah.
Hey, there ain't nothing on this planet that'll offer you eternal redemption.
Hey. That's right.
How'd he get it, though? By his own blood.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
His own blood paid that price.
That's right.
So that you can have eternity in heaven.
Yeah,
but not only that, so you can have a piece of heaven on earth.
Amen.
He says, I want to give him life and give him a more abundant life.
Right.
Hey, brother, I could never imagine the life that God has given me.
Right.
Zach, the life God has given me, from where I come from to where I am at today, it's unbelievable. And that began when I got saved, my eternity began. Ain't that something?
Yeah. Amen.
Look at it, it says eternal redemption. Here it goes. Look at what it says. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean. You see, what he's telling you here is that religion ain't going to work. Your works ain't going to work.
Right.
It's his blood that does it, not your works.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you pray, read, come to church, dress. It's not your works that get you to heaven. It's his own blood. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ that buys that eternal redemption.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not what we do and don't do.
That's
thank
right.
God for it, because you know what? I don't have enough brownie points to earn my way to heaven.
Right.
Even as a saved person.
Right.
My goodness. Help me, Lord.
My goodness.
Look at how much more the blood of Christ, woo, who through the eternal spirit offered himself. Through what spirit? The eternal. That means it never had a beginning or ending.
Yeah.
It's always been.
Yeah.
And that's what his blood does for us.
Right.
You can't even fathom that.
No.
We have such finite minds. We are limited by space and time, and we try to figure out an infinite God who's unlimited by space and time.
Right.
Can't figure him out.
Amen.
You're right.
Woo!
That's right.
Hey, the Muslims and the Buddhists, they all got their gods figured out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. Thank God for it.
That's right.
You know what? Riches. Unsearchable riches. Pleasures for how? Forevermore.
Amen.
You know, we try to equate that with things here on earth. My friend, ain't going to be nothing like here on earth.
Well, right.
Thank God for it. We think this pleasure here ain't going to be pleasure in heaven.
Right.
And we get an eternity. But look at it. It gets better. It says, through the eternal spirit offered himself without spots, purge your conscience. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He'll purge that conscience. Hey, I remember this. When I got saved, the very first thing that I remember is having a clean conscience for the first time in my life.
Amen.
Why? Because he purged that bad boy.
Right.
He got rid of those things in there.
Amen.
Took medicine, sleeping pills, and everything else to put me to sleep. I'll tell you what, when I got saved, Jesus Christ put me to sleep, my friend.
Amen.
Why? He purged my conscience. He cleaned that thing up. Those things didn't bother me anymore.
Right.
They didn't keep me awake at night.
Right.
Woo! That's what his blood does.
Amen.
That's what his blood does.
Amen.
It gives us eternal redemption to purge our conscience. Man, what a benefit.
Come on,
man.
Wouldn't you like to have that in here tonight?
Yes, sir.
Thank God.
Wouldn't you like to have that in here tonight?
It's
available.
Amen.
Better believe it, my friend.
It.
Through the blood of Jesus, we've been given a clean conscience and eternal redemption. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. It says, being justified because it cost you something.
Yeah.
It's not what it says.
That's
being justified freely.
Amen.
That means you have to do nothing to be justified but believe, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. It's a free thing that he offers.
Right.
Look what it says here. By his grace through the redemption that is in. Not maybe, Zach.
Right.
Not hope so, but is in.
Amen.
What a wonderful two little words that is. Is in.
Right.
Because it's not anywhere else.
Right.
It's not a hope so. It's
right.
Not a maybe. It's not maybe next week this will happen to me. No, it says it is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. What do you mean? God put him there and put his faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that it will finish exactly what needed to be done.
Amen.
God had faith in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't.
That's good.
God the Father, Tim, put his faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that it will do exactly what it was intended to do. And yet there are people in this room who can't do it.
Right.
That's right.
Through faith in his blood. Let me explain it a little bit here. Propitiation is a place for the acting of propitiating. What does that mean? Back in the Old Testament, they would bring the blood and the animals to the altar. And that's where the atonement would take place. Today, Jesus Christ is the altar. He's the one that we come to bring our sins. It's his blood that does the forgiving, not just the atoning.
Amen.
It does the washing away today.
Amen.
He is the propitiation.
Amen.
He is that place that we come to with our sins. He's that place we come to with the shedding of his blood that washes us away. What a wonderful Savior that he washes those away. Do you know he's got the only blood on the entire planet and anywhere else in the cosmos that it, when it turned red, it made things white?
Amen.
Go ahead and cut yourself and put your finger on your shirt there, Zach. Let's see what color that turns.
Right.
Not the blood of Jesus, my friend.
That's right.
Makes you white as snow.
Yeah.
Cleans you up. It purges those things. What a wonderful blood. Hey, that's power in the blood there,
right,
my friend.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
There's power in that thing.
Yeah. That's right.
Woo! In the Old Testament, they put their faith in the blood looking forward to the coming of Jesus. Today, we come to Jesus looking to his finished work by the shedding of his blood, death, burial, and resurrection. We are justified by the blood of Christ. Justified. Look at, I stood in front of a lot of judges. I've done jail and prison time in 3 different states. I was a mess out there, brother. Complete mess. My last bid was for armed robbery. They're offering me 12 and a half to 25 years. I said, I'm not taking it. I sat in jail and I waited to go to trial. They offered me 7 and a half to 15. I said, I'm not taking it. The judge came up, the district attorney came up to my lawyer and he said, this is probably about a year and a half sitting in the jail waiting to go to trial. He said, you tell Mr. Morey, we'll offer him a 5 flat year. It means I'm going to do no less and no more than 5 years. Let's sign the papers. 5 years, I'll do that all day. And I stood before that judge. Handcuffed and shackled, right? Got the chains running all up me. I'm standing. He said, Mr. Moore, I'm shaking my head like a happy little dog. He said, you know, in order for you to get this, you have to plead guilty to all things known and unknown. You have to plead guilty to this charge. I said, absolutely. He said, go ahead. I said, Your Honor, I'm pleading guilty to attempted armed robbery. You just heard that come out of my mouth, right? But in my heart, you know what I said?
That's it.
And I walked away not justified. That's how people are handling salvation today. They're making things, confessions with their mouth, but in their heart, they don't see their guilt. They don't understand their guilt. They're not justified in that.
It's good.
Who does the justifying? Jesus Christ and his blood. That's where the justification comes from. Not from ourselves. You know why? Because we say a lot of things out of our mouth, but it mean nothing in our heart.
Right.
Man.
Right.
It's reality. That's what happens. God forbid.
Amen.
So we're justified. But God committed his love toward us, and that while we're yet still sinners, lost person, you're still a sinner, then he's committed his love toward you right now. Right this very moment, as I'm standing up behind this pulpit, God has a love for you because you are a sinner.
Yeah.
He says, I came to seek and to save that which was found, religious, good. No, lost.
That's right.
Who did he come to seek? That which was lost. That means you, sinner.
Right.
He committed his love. That means he gave his love to you as you sit here tonight.
Amen.
Right.
I guess it don't get no clearer than that.
Amen.
Does it?
It's clear.
He's committed his love. And that while you are still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him.
Right.
What a wonderful promise that we have in the blood. That I don't have to worry about justifying myself. And I just gave you an example of what self-justification looks like. And you know what that would get me? Hell. It'd get me nowhere. But the blood of Christ is his justification. It's his love that he's given to the sinner that will cleanse that, that will forgive that, that will justify. Look, when that gavel slammed down on me, when I got that nut, I got saved, it was over with.
Right.
Justified, ED on the end of that.
Yep.
It wasn't a temporary justification.
Right.
It was a permanent one for eternity.
Amen.
Ephesians 1, 6 and 7 says, to praise him of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And I'm just going to say this out here right now. John 8:32, John 8:36 in Ephesians and those other perversions. John 8:32 says, you know the truth and the truth will make you free. All the other perversions say set free. Well, is there a big difference in those words? 100%. We're talking about the King James Bible, the perfect word of God. Let me give you an example. To set something means it's already in existence. I can set my glasses anywhere I want. Why? Because they're already in existence. But to be made means it does not exist until that very moment it's made. You see, John 8:32 says, and you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus Christ at salvation gives us something we've never had at that very moment. He just made us free. You see, jail, prisons, mental hospitals, all those things set me free. They put me back out there to do those things that I wanted to do. But in Jesus Christ, I have been made free. By his blood. By his blood. And because of him, now I live a life through him, not myself. That's where the change comes in, my friend.
It's good. That's right.
Got to learn those words in that Bible, man. Keep them exactly what they mean. God didn't tell us to change them or rearrange them. Leave them. Why? It means something. Wonder why those people leave jail and prison all the time and do the same things over and over again? They got set free in their mind. They've been set free their whole life. How about it, my friends? Wouldn't you like to be made free? Wouldn't you like to have, Miss Stephanie, don't it feel good to be made free and not set free anymore? Leaving church, doing the same thing over and over again, nothing ever changes? You know, that's the definition of insanity.
Right.
You keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting something to change and it never does? Same thing as religion.
Not
when you're made free.
Not
when you're made free.
Yeah.
Not when the blood of Jesus Christ makes you free and justifies you. It's a whole different ballgame, isn't it, Miss Stephanie? Thank God for it. We are forgiven and accepted in the beloved. You know what's awesome? Is I'm accepted in the beloved. For the first time in my life, I'm accepted. I'm accepted somewhere, Brother Tim. I'm accepted in the beloved. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not even accepted in my own family. Hey, brother, they didn't like me when I was unsaved. They don't like me when I'm saved. Say, man, you preach hard. Good. You need to hear it. But you know one thing I don't have to worry about is being accepted in the beloved. Why? Not because of what I've done. But by the blood. By the blood of Jesus Christ. He saw me. Look, he looked down from heaven and saw me.
Wonderful.
Hey, I still get excited. Look, I go through down times. I go through hard times. But I'm going to tell you what. That didn't make me lose my acceptance in the beloved. Hey, you got to erase the blood of Jesus Christ to get rid of that. That ain't happening. Why, that blood's been there for eternity. Me, I'm not going to get rid of it, Zach. We're almost done here. Just hang on.
Good, brother.
Ephesians chapter 2, it says, but now in Christ Jesus you were sometimes, were afar off. But now I've been made, made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Sometimes afar off. Yeah. You know what in my travels, Brother Tim, I've come to see that a lot of Christians like to live near God. But they don't like to live nigh God.
Yeah.
Is there a difference in those words?
Oh, yeah.
So let me explain. To be near something is, I'm near that piano bench.
Right.
But there's something in between us.
Right.
If I want to be nigh to that piano bench, I have to remove whatever's in between us. And now I'm nigh.
That's good.
Now I'm nigh. Look at you. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God. And He'll draw nigh unto you. But most people want to live close to God and think they're happy in that.
Right. That's good.
Look at what this says here. Let me read what that says here again. And it says that we were sometimes afar off, have now been made nigh.
Amen.
By the blood of Christ.
That's right.
You see, I don't have to live close anymore. Right. I can draw nigh unto God. But you know what it takes some things? What's that? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. That's purify right. your hearts, you double-minded.
Right.
I may have misquoted that.
No. Good.
That's how we draw nigh to God. It's not an easy thing to get there.
You're right.
But you know what? That's where He wants us.
That's right.
That's why He made that promise. You draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. That's a promise He made.
Right. Amen.
Either we can stand on what this word says or we can't. Which one is it? You can't live both. He said, we've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. Why? For He is our peace.
Amen. You
never go through those trials and say, man, how can I have this peace? That's the peace that passes all understanding.
Amen.
Come on. It passes our understanding, but that's His peace. Why? But from His blood. His blood has given us that peace.
Right.
It's His peace, it says. It's not our peace.
Right.
He says this, He says, for He is our peace, who hath both made one and hath broken down, what? The middle wall partition between us.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
That wall partition between me and God has been torn down. But it wasn't torn down by these hands.
That's right.
Amen. It wasn't torn down by the things that I did do or didn't do. It was torn down by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He tore that down, not me.
Amen.
You know why? That wall will still be there. That's a benefit we have.
Right.
Now, well, guess what? You said it last night, or maybe Brother Tim said it last night. It's who it was.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was you that said it. Abba, Father. We have that adoption now.
Amen.
Why does that mean? That wall got taken down, and I can talk directly to my Father.
Amen.
By how? The blood of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's what He does. We're made nigh. And He is our peace through His blood. Colossians 1:21 says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. By Him to reconcile some things unto Himself. All things unto Himself. All things unto Himself. All things unto Himself. Listen to that. All things unto Himself. That means you are sitting in this room tonight because He is trying to draw you unto Himself. He has reconciled. He has made it good so that you can get there. He has took that partition and He has torn it down so that you can have a way to Him. What are you waiting for?
Amen.
Isn't that what we just read? By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be in things in earth or things in heaven. You ready? And here's the next phrase. And you. He didn't forget about you. He talked about the things on heaven.
Right.
Hey, things in heaven, things on earth. And then He says, and you.
Right.
And you. And you. Yeah. That's everybody sitting in this room tonight. And you. He wanted you to know that He's talking about you.
Hey,
he says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He hath made reconciled. We do all the wrong. He does all the good and we get the benefits.
Right?
How does that happen?
Isn't
that so? The woman with the issue of blood, isn't that what happened? She walked up with her issue, touched Jesus Christ. His virtue went into her.
Right.
Her uncleanness went into Him.
Right. That's right.
So. What a wonderful trade-off. And what did she have to do? It says that she heard and believed.
Uh-huh.
And it drove her to Jesus.
Hey,
you see, when it talks about belief in your King James Bible, it demands an action. Mm-hmm. When you believe something, you will do it.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
She believed. That's all she. It's all she did was hear of this man Jesus Christ. She heard of the healing. She heard of the eyes being opened. She heard of the devils being cast out. And she said she kicked that door open and she left. If I can just get to the hem of His garment,
amen.
What to God we can get sinners to want to get to the hem of His garment?
Amen.
Why He's waiting? He's done everything and it's finished. It's over with. The blood's been shed. It's up in heaven waiting for forgiveness. It's done.
Yeah, man.
But we got to get them, Miss Ruth Ann, to want to get to Jesus.
Yeah.
Nothing stopped her, not her uncleanness and not the people that she could not touch. Because
right.
According to Leviticus chapter 15, she would have made everybody unclean by going into that crowd. Mm-hmm. Didn't stop her though, did it? She was getting to Jesus Christ no matter what.
Desperate.
And when she did, that's right, she was desperate. You desperate?
Damn.
Or just not thirsty enough?
Come on.
God help us.
Thirsty. Talk about that worker who's out in the sun. It's early in the morning, you know. You know there's a nice cold cup of water over there. You say, you know what? I'll go after that later on. Mm-hmm. As the heat goes and picks up, you start thinking about that water more and more. So much so, here it is, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can't take it no more. That sun is absolutely baking you. You say, that's it. I'm done. I can't take it anymore. And you just toss everything to the side, and you get to that water. And you go, why did I wait so long to get that drink? And that's what some of you are doing with salvation. You're not thirsty enough for it. You don't want to get to it. You want to put everything else in front of it before you get to it. And man, I'll tell you, when you do get to it, you're going to say, why did I wait so long?
That's right.
Are you thirsty? You have to be thirsty for Jesus, man.
Amen.
Ask God to make you thirsty. The blood is not human tainted blood. This is holy blood from the Son of God.
Amen.
That has the power to forgive, wash, and make us white as snow. You know, amen. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He's trying to reason. This whole week, if you've been sitting here as a lost person, he's been reasoning with you every single night.
Man,
he's trying to show you, look it, you come, let's reason together. Look, Brother David, this is a holy God telling us he'll reason with us. When you could be dropped in hell any second, he's willing to reason with you.
Amen.
Yeah.
What's stopping him right now from dropping somebody from these pews into hell? What's stopping him?
Tell
him.
Yeah.
Come on. His love.
Amen.
And his reasoning. There's no other reason. I know a lot of people who go to hell from a church pew.
Yeah.
They forsook the reasoning of God. He said, come, let us reason together. He wants to make you clean and white as snow. And I told you earlier that only his blood can make something white. It can make it pure and clean. What a wonderful thing. That's what God has done for me and my wife in our marriage. He's given us a clean marriage. A marriage that God is honored in.
Amen.
He's taken two defiled people and has taught us what it is to be a husband and wife.
Amen.
We didn't know what that was.
Right.
And then gave us children.
Amen.
I don't deserve children. My son used to be afraid of me. You guys have known me long enough. Is he afraid of me? No, he's my shadow, man.
That's right.
Amen.
But before I got saved, he used to be afraid of me.
That's right.
Not in a good fear. Not in a good fear where daddy's going to spank him because he's done wrong. Because of the way I treated him.
Yeah.
What I used to say to him. What I used to do to him. God, in his mercy, gave me and my wife children.
Amen.
6 months after I got saved, my wife got saved. She was angry, Miss Ruthann. When I got saved, my wife went outside and cursed God, brother. I kid you not. She's out in the parking lot, I mean, swearing at him. Why won't you save me? And she's, I'm cleaning it up. Why? What is it about me that you won't save? And then finally came to the end of it, brother. Willis Shankles came and preached the April message. And she came home and I mean tore up. Everybody looks at my wife like, she's such a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. I knew her before she was a saved person, let me tell you. Yeah? She has character. But she came home and I mean she was tore up from the floor. I said, that's it. I said, you get in that bedroom and don't come out until you get it right with Jesus. I'm done. She did. She went in there. She went in that room, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours. Don't come out, man.
Amen.
Under conviction like that, you know where you need to be? Alone, praying.
That's
trying
right.
to get
Amen.
A hold of God. Not shaking it off.
That's
not
right.
shaking it off.
Amen.
Amen.
You didn't shake it off that night, did you, babe? That's right.
That's right.
You got saved, brother.
Amen.
Born again, came out of that room. She goes, he loves me.
Yeah.
I go, what? He loves me. Woo!
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Glory.
Hallelujah. That's what it took for my wife.
Yeah, glory.
That's what I had to see. Jesus Christ loved her.
Yeah.
Through all that, she said, everything that I've ever been, and they still loved you in spite of it.
Amen.
So it took her down, brother.
Hallelujah.
Huh. He loved me. She came screaming. I'm like, oh, whoa. I have, woo. What world?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Woo.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo!
Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10.
Praise
the Lord. Yeah, amen. We're getting ready to.
Hallelujah. Wonderful.
Hebrews chapter 10.
Praise God.
Really want you to pay attention to what he's saying here. There's some pretty important stuff in here for a lost person. Actually, the whole Bible. The whole book, the whole Bible. There's nothing in the Bible that's going to steer you wrong. It's trying to steer you in the direction of Jesus. Hey, you know what I did today as a saved person? I read 1 John chapters 1, 2, and 3 probably 5 or 6 times today. I just kept reading it over and over again. You know why? Because I wanted it to sink into me. I wanted God to show me where there might be an issue with me. I wanted God to try my heart. And try my reins. You notice that in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. It says that our hearts are desperately wicked above all things. It says, who can know it? It says, I, the Lord, search the heart and I try the reins. You know, reins are something that steer an animal. What's he doing? He's not only trying to show me what's in my heart, but why my heart functions the way it does.
That's right. That's right, boy.
He wants me not to only see what's in my heart, but why my heart does what it does, Zach.
Right.
What's going to show me that, brother? That book.
Amen.
That Bible right there will show you exactly
what's
going on. Your thoughts and the intents of your heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. It says, he that despised Moses, chapter 10, verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under 2 or 3 witnesses. Here it is. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthily who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing. You say, well, I'm not treating it as an unholy thing. In your unbelief, you are.
Right.
You're treating the blood of Jesus Christ and him as an unholy thing. You're trodding it under the foot of God. You're telling him, fooey, I don't believe your word. I don't believe what you're saying. God, you are a liar.
Right.
He says, how much more of a punishment should yours be than those who despise Moses' law?
That's right.
If I was lost, I'd be afraid of that verse.
Yeah.
I'd be shook of that verse.
Yeah.
Why? Because in my unbelief and in my fear, I'm trodden underneath Jesus Christ. It was his blood that sanctified our salvation, justified our salvation, gave us a cleansing. And yet in our unbelief and fear, just go ahead and look up in the sky and tell him you're a liar.
Right.
You're a liar.
Right.
Let me ask you this. I know people. I'm not going to mention names, but I know people who tell me they believe that they'll go to hell. They believe in the judgments of God. They believe that Satan is real, but they can't believe that God wants to save them.
Oh, my.
Nonsense.
It is. It's
nonsense. Nonsense.
Man.
If you can believe, okay, do you believe that this King James Bible is the Word of God? Yes, it's the Word of God. Is that what you're really telling God?
Right.
What you're actually telling him is, yeah, I really do believe that's the word of God, but you're a liar because you really can't do what's in it.
Right.
Your sin, or whatever it is that's stopping you from getting saved, is more powerful than the blood of Christ, is what you're telling them.
Right.
You're trodden what he has done underfoot.
Right. Right.
You're telling God, you're a liar. And hath done despite the spirit of grace. For we know that he hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
Amen.
My friend, how many times have you heard preachers say this and you've gotten away with it? You might walk out of here and die tonight. But God has allowed you so many times to do that that you don't believe that anymore.
Yeah.
Is tonight the night that you're playing Russian roulette with your soul?
Come on.
Would you want to take that chance?
Oh.
Would you, Mike, allow me to take a gun and put a bullet in it and allow Isaiah to play with that gun? Mm-hmm. That's how God feels about you and your salvation. What? When are you going to take this seeking serious? You know, Romans 3:11 says there's none that understandeth.
Right.
There's none that seeketh after God. Well, I've been seeking, have you? Because the Bible says you don't seek.
Yeah.
1 John chapter 5, verse 20 says that Jesus Christ is the one who gives the understanding.
Right.
What are you seeking? You know what, Brother Rose? A lot of people, they're seeking salvation, but they're not seeking the God of salvation.
Right.
They're seeking for that word, salvation, but they're not seeking for the God of that salvation. And I'm going to tell you this right now. When I was a lost person, I was always looking for an emotion or a feeling in my heart to know that I got saved.
Right.
Guess what didn't happen? You know what happened? A confidence and an assurance took over me, and I understood perfectly that I was saved. That's what happened to me.
God.
It wasn't a good, gut feeling like, oh. I understood when I got up, hey, something just happened to me. I'm saved.
Right.
But it wasn't a gut feeling to me. I didn't, I wanted to get up and go preach. I remember, Brother Mike, I got up, I told my wife, I just had a back surgery recently, before that. I said, boy, if I can get up and do backflips, I would right now. I was just excited. But you know what it wasn't? It wasn't an emotional gut feeling to me. It was an assurance, a knowing that Jesus Christ had just changed my life. And I knew it. And I knew it. And guess what? 10 years later, I still know it. How many times did we get baptized? Yeah, we went dipping quite a few times. Look. Let me close with this. 1 Peter 1:18 says this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, that means your vain lifestyle, those vain things, received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, and here it is, but was manifest in these last times for you.
Amen.
For you and for you. He was made known. How is he made known? In this Bible. For who? For you. Do you really think you're the only one he wants to leave out? Is that what you really believe in your heart? It's not the truth.
That's right.
Christians, there's a lot more to this. I didn't get to finish it all. There's benefits in the blood.
Amen.
Go search out the blood of Jesus Christ and see what kind of benefits that we have in him. And I'm going to tell you right now, it should be precious to us. And we should be living more according to those benefits that we have in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you know why? It took his blood to give them to us. Oh, how precious Jesus is. Oh, we love it. But yet, we'll trample his blood underneath our feet by the way we live. That's how precious it is to us. The next time somebody stands you up, your pastor stands you up, and they sing a song about the blood, my God, you ought to be thankful. You ought to be rejoicing. You ought to be doing backflips in your seat if you can. Why? Because that blood of Jesus Christ has paid everything, every penalty for us. And he's given us benefits in that blood to live and to enjoy and to have, not just now, but through eternity. Hey, you know what the good thing is? I like going to churches who don't know me. I like telling them this. I get to spend eternity with you. They don't like that. It's all right, though. I'm not there to like that.
Right.
Amen. The precious blood
of
Jesus Christ. I'm done, Pastor. Thank you.
Amen. Word of God. Good word.
Yes. Amen. Amen.